say that we have a desire to obey Him.
Amen.
And that goes right with it, too. Amen. Just really appreciate the song service. Like Brother Daniel said, Brother Tim, he just keeps right on going. You wouldn't know they had surgery a couple of days ago on his hand, but praise the Lord, he just, when I grow up, I want to be like that. Amen. Amen. And so we just appreciate the musicians going to have their seats. Appreciate everyone being at their post of duty, being part of this little body. Amen. I mean, believe that we're going to, the Lord's going to get us out of here one of these days.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Amen.
This world's quickly becoming a place that's not fit even for, you know, for a believer, for sure. I've often wondered when the scripture said there at the end of the book of Revelation, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And that was John typing us. So just kind of getting to that place where he said, Lord, just come get us. And amen. We just appreciate the song service and everything that the Lord has done, each one of you. We go ahead and open our Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The title is today, A Total Deliverance. A Total Deliverance. Exodus chapter 12, we'll begin reading at verse 21, and verse 33. And then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike it. Strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses and smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass, when ye be in the land which the Lord will give you, according to as he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say to you, what mean ye by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on the throne, his throne, and to the firstborn of the captives that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people, that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. Let's just pray. Lord, how thankful we are that we have your word, able to read these things and to talk about them, think upon them. And so, Lord, this morning we just pray that you would come and break the bread of life, or that you are get into the ministry of your word. We know that your word is anointed, and so we just move out of the way now and ask God that you'd speak and both be speaker and hearer as you live in your people. We pray, God, that you just have your way this morning and this day. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. It's quite a story, isn't it? You know, just a real quick rehearsing of that story there. It was Pharaoh and the Egyptians, you know, and they were in authority over the children of Israel. And here comes Moses, and Moses wanting to, according to God's commandments and so forth, going to the Pharaoh and say, hey, you know, let us go worship the Lord. And here's Pharaoh, who's like, what? I'm not doing that. I'm not letting you go. Matter of fact, Pharaoh said, you know what? You got enough time to say you want to go worship. You could do some more work. So he took away the straw, made him go get thrown a straw, and said, hey, you got to keep your same number of bricks that you were making each day. You have to continue on and do that, but you have to get your own straw. We're not going to provide it for you anymore. The Pharaoh said, hey, and they missed the first couple of days tally, and then so the Israeli, the leaders over the people who were over the work, they were beaten because they hadn't made the tally of bricks. And so what I'm getting at here is here's this Pharaoh and all Egypt, and they're like, you're not letting you go, no way. And over and over and over, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But as you see at the last there, the Egyptians urgently wanted the people out. Quite a change of attitude, wasn't it? And so we're going to talk this morning about total deliverance. And so there's a sermon Brother Brandon preached called Total Deliverance. And some of the comments I'll make come from that. He was saying in there that the church of the living God, the believers, have always been and always will be until the Lord comes and sets up a millennium. We've always been a minority. So if you're as a Christian, you want to be part of great big numbers, well, that's probably not going to happen until we get there.
Right?
There'll be millions there coming out of every age. But right now, he said, it always has been and always will be. Now, there's millions that say they're Christians, right? But you know as well as I do as believers that the number of people who really do have a connection with the Lord is quite a bit smaller than those who profess it. And so the church has always been a minority and always will be until the Lord comes. And he's telling us there that even though that we are a minority, even though we're not great in numbers, we're God's people.
Right.
Said, if you could just understand, we are the church of the living God. And he said, and this was in 1959, he said, but the church is beginning to live under their privileges. Their God-given privilege. In other words, everything that the Lord has provided for them, they're not living up to that. They're not possessing all the blessings. In other words, they're not having total deliverance like he has promised. And so he tells us that the people are, even back then, he said, it seems like people are beginning, in the church are beginning to get away from deliverance. They will say, oh yeah, the Lord can do that. The Lord can do it. He said they just kind of push it to the side and say, well, he can do it. But he said that's not the attitude to have. See, the attitude to have is not only can God do it, but God will do it, and I'm not going to sit still until it's manifest.
Right?
And so, you know, if you really love something, you'll protect it. If you really want something, you'll pursue it. Right? If you really want a new boat, Brother Daniel, if you want a new boat, well, he's going to do something about it, right? If he really wants one, or I'm just using that as an example, but if you really, really want something, especially if you know that it's yours, well, if you really believe that and you really want that, then you're going to do something to make it happen.
Right.
And so he's saying the attitude is not say, well, yeah, he can do it. No, the attitude to have is, hey, it's mine, he paid the price for it, and I'm going to have it.
Right.
Amen? And so he tells us there that when God sends a man out to do something, he fully equips that man for that job. He sent Moses to Egypt, and he fully equipped Moses to go carry out what he sent him to do. And so, you know, to bring that to us, I'm not here, and you're not here because you wanted to be here. You are here because God sent you here. God sent you here, and when he sent you here, he fully equipped you to do what he sent you here to do.
Right?
We have to understand that. I know that most of the time we feel so short and so from really what it is, but listen, God doesn't do halfway things.
Right.
When God sent you here to this earth, he gave you exactly in you what you need in order to carry out what he sent you for. I've said so many times, he's not going to tell you, hey, go do this and not provide for you the ability to do what he has asked or has commissioned you to do.
Right.
And so he fully equips the person to do what. And so we need to just kind of establish that in our own thinking. Listen, I'm not what my brain tells me. I am what God says I am. I am what God sent me here to do,
right.
And I am fully able, and so are you. You are fully able to reach that place that God wants you to do what God wants you to do because he's provided it.
Right.
Quit letting the devil tell you that it's not for you or if you're not able.
Mm-hmm.
Quit letting him tell you that your mistakes has short-circuited God's plan,
right.
That you can't go and be what God says you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he sends a man, he fully equips him, and so Brother Bim says, God does not make halfway Christians.
Right?
Right? He does, he didn't do anything halfway. Right?
Right?
So he doesn't make halfway Christians, he makes them fully able to do what he sent them to do. It may be sound like a play on words, but you know, the scripture tells us that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Cain wasn't able. Cain wasn't able to provide that sacrifice. He, you know, Abel was able,
right?
Right? But Cain was not able. And I often wonder, is that where that word come from? Are you able? If you're able, then you can do it. Because Abel could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But Cain could not, right?
Right?
And God sends us here, and every one of you are able. Every one of you are of the gene, seed gene line, what you see there in the Old Testament of Adam having Abel,
yep.
Right?
Right?
Being able of that seed line, spiritually speaking, every one of you are here as children of God. You are able.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Cain wasn't able. This is Cain, this right here. It can't do it.
Right.
So don't look to this.
Right. Yeah.
Don't look to this. Don't look to this.
Right?
Right? God bypassed all that. He works off of the heart, right down inside. So you're able. And if you remember Joshua and Caleb, you know when they went out and they looked at the land, they come back and they had the grapes that it was so big that two men had to carry it. I remember one time I shot a deer and my brother and I, and we found us a big long. You know, tree about that big around, and we put that thing, and we come carrying that deer out.
Yeah.
Took two men. Even with that, it was a pretty tough thing to do.
Yeah.
These fellas come back carrying a cluster of grapes.
Right.
That one cluster, we could feed the whole church with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, come back carrying that. They came back with the evidence that everything God had said, that land is good, everything's there just like it. But 10 out of the 12,
yep.
10 spies, 10 spies, we call them spies, 10 of God's, he sent over to spy out the land. There were 12 of them, 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good land, but
mm-hmm.
we're grasshoppers in their sight. And you know what? In the physical,
mm-hmm.
they were. They looked like grasshoppers in the sight of those giants. And those giants looked at them and said, yep, you're grasshoppers to us. That's what the scripture said in their eyes, both eyes. They said, and that's the truth. But so Joshua and Caleb, hey, they're like, you know what? We're more than able.
Right.
It wasn't that they're able, but they were able because God had promised it.
Right.
That's what made them able and said, we're more than able to do this. And so you have something in you that is more than able.
Yeah.
Right? Not in yourself and not in your own brain, but in the promise of God, if you believe it.
Amen.
You're more than able to do it. Brother M says, God doesn't make halfway Christian, but sometimes they are halfway. But it's not God's will that we're halfway.
Yeah.
God wants us to be fully,
right.
Fully possessing
yeah.
everything for us.
Amen.
It's been so much for the last a little while that I've said it a couple of times. I see no reason why that we can't have all of the blessings of God.
Right.
Though what God has opened up his word, he's pulled pulled back every stop, and he's given us the whole thing, the whole revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Everything from all the ages that was unfolding was bringing it to this day, and now in this day, God has sent a prophet and a message to show you, hey, here's what it's been. Now this is the day. You're the people, and this is what you can have and what you can be. That's the revelation of this day, because we didn't know these things until this day.
Right.
So here we are. God has told us. And so now God wants us, if there was ever an age that could have all the blessings of God in their life and everything work out exactly the way he's promised, this is that day.
Right.
Amen? Sometimes they're halfway, but he says they get all mixed up in the plan of God in their life. They get all mixed up in that. They get, you know, Satan comes in and confuses them. But there's no confusion in God. So if we can just get away from the confusion and back to God's original plan and back to exactly what he is. I mean, there's a general orders for what all Christians should be, but even you in your own personal walk, there's a perfect will of God for your life, and you can have that.
Right.
And when you get away from all the confusion and get right in that realm right there where God has placed you, you can't be defeated in that.
Right.
Can't happen. Amen. They get all mixed up in their plan of God in their lives, and then it gets all kinds of messed up, become halfway, but God doesn't want us to be halfway. Brother Bram said he wants us to completely stand in the breach. Mm-hmm. You know, a breach, you know, if the levee down here, whatever they call it, had a breaking out, water would be rushing into town. Mm-hmm. You go in there and get in the breach. Stop it. And so he wants you to fully stand in the breach. He wants you to be able to fully stand in the place and help those who can't.
Right?
Right? Fully make up the gap there for others. And so, Brother Bam tells us that God can trust what he made you to be. Right? He can trust that. You don't have any trust in what you try to be in your flesh or in your own intellect, but what he sent you here to be and that which he fully equipped you to be that Satan has tried to confuse, you get all that away, and in that real part of you that come from him, God can trust that. He can put confidence in that. He don't have to worry about it. He knows exactly what it'll do. Amen? Standing in that position, you'll never be defeated. You will have total deliverance in that condition. And so, can't be defeated. That's what God wants for each one of us. Amen? How many knows that God has a perfect will for your life?
Amen.
Do you think God wants you to be lost? Do you think he wants you to be confused, sad, brokenhearted? Do you think he wants your homes in turmoil? No, he doesn't. There's a reason why those things happen, but it's not God's perfect will.
Right.
It's because Satan has come in and lied and tricked and deceived. And because of that, compromise.
Right.
If we compromise, then that's the enemy coming in and it weakens. Right? But if you don't compromise, if you stay right there in that perfect will and plan of God, you can't be defeated.
Right.
We see that in the scriptures. And so, you must come to the place where you can say, you know what? God gave me these promises and I'm going to have
them.
Right. You have to fight for it.
Sure.
You can't just lay down and say, well, he can do it. So what the prophet's saying. Back then in 1959, he said that would begin. He was beginning to move there. He was beginning to see that in the people that they were coming. And this was right in the midst of one of the most mighty manifestations of God's power and presence in his church that we'd had throughout all ages. It was right there when all this was going on. And Brother Bram says, all that, and if there was ever a church that knew that God could do these things, it was then, because they were seeing it all the time. And yet in all that, they were beginning to say, yeah, God can do it, but they were getting away from it. What was it? They were getting away from the place where they were saying, not only can he do it, but I will have it. They begin to lose their fight. They say, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog.
Right?
Right? So, if you're not willing to fight for it, then Satan's there to make sure you're not going to have it.
Right.
He's going to make sure. But you've got, and this is the thing, and you know, we were talking about there a little while ago and about the medicine they give you to stop pain and stuff while they're operating on you. And I said, can you imagine the people that suffered while they were trying to figure out and learn these things, the people who suffered like that, or the people who back before they could deaden the pain when they had to do surgery and stuff like that. Can you imagine those things? And I said, we live in such a soft age.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. We live in such, and because of that soft age that we live in, then it takes the fight out of us. Brother, this age has made it such where it's not, we don't have this sense of live or die,
right. Yeah.
Sink or swim. We don't have that desperation. This age has made it to where, well, you know, if God don't heal me, I just go to the doctor again. And I'm not against doctors, you understand that. But you know, the scripture says, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. When we have more food in the pantry than what we need for the day, there's something that begins to take place in us to make our expectation of God supplying for us for tomorrow begins to diminish. When you have, so you see, we can, and I know the scripture says, you know, do like the ants, put your storing food up and all that for winter and all that. I understand that. But we should never get to the place where we're not totally, completely trusting in God for everything. But these things work against that. And you see, the cycle was every time Israel got so blessed of God, then they got slack. And then something would happen. And they'd have to, and it was a cycle, and we're no different. We are no different. We have come through a cycle where we know, yep, God can do it. Well, why aren't we agonizing with him to fulfill his word? Because we're in that cycle. And we need to come out of that cycle. We need to be willing to fight for something. And if there's something worth living for, it's worth dying for. Right? Absolutely. We live in an age where they have a hard time finding military people to sign up for the military. I don't blame them. Who wants to go out and die for some greedy politician? Right? But there's no patriotism. They don't see a need for it. Yeah, it's not, you know, it's a lot like it used to be back whenever, hey, they would sign up for freedom, willing to give their life so that this freedom could stand. Well, it's different now because everything's been so watered down. Nobody has that zeal anymore. And that's just in the secular world like that. But what about in Christians where God said you can have total, complete deliverance, but nobody wants to sign up for the fight to have it?
Right.
See, natural typing spiritual. But you can have total deliverance. Absolutely. But you can't compromise. If we are Christians, we shouldn't compromise. We'll read some quotes here from Total Deliverance. Brother Branham says, and the members of a church, if he's called to be a member of a certain group, then he would not compromise. If that church believes that he should not gamble, then that member should never touch a deck of cards. If we don't believe in drinking, if you don't believe in drinking, he should turn his head away completely from drinking. If we don't believe in gambling or smoking, the member of this church should never touch such a thing. God gives complete deliverance, and he will do it if we completely surrender ourselves to him. If we completely deliver ourselves into his hands, then God can live in us, Christ, the hope of glory. He can reflect himself from us as we get ourselves out of the way, and then our thoughts become his thoughts. Can you imagine Christ smoking a cigar? Can you picture that? Or a cigarette or a joint? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? I'll get back to the quote in a minute, but can you imagine Christ ridiculing other believers? Could you imagine Christ looking and lusting after someone? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Somehow people got away from the holiness.
Right.
He's an awesome God. He's so holy. I love that song. That needs to be reestablished. And what is it going to take to get it reestablished? Is it going to take Ananias and Sapphira? Because it needs to be reestablished. He's a holy God.
Right.
And he can't dwell in that kind of stuff.
Right.
He can't. So Brother Bill says, can you imagine Christ smoking a cigar? Could you imagine Christ drinking or playing cards? He's saying that. I'm just reading him. See, if you're not careful, and this happens, I've seen it. Things that the prophet tells, hey, this is, the Holy Spirit wouldn't do that. And we come along and somehow we will say, well, the reason why is because of this, but we're not doing that, so it's okay to do what he was saying because we're really not the same. And talk yourself out of it and not realizing that you are the same. Compromising. And so he says, can you imagine him playing cards or drinking and playing cards? Then he said, then if your spirit is part of his spirit, he wants it to be upon your confession. But you permit the devil to come in and take over. And all the time in your heart, you know deep down that you're wrong when you do those things. And when one member would talk against another member, you know that's wrong. You're commanded to pray for one another, not talk against one another, but to love one another. And if someone is down, let's pick them up, help them. Now, that makes us, if you do what he's saying here, that makes us a unified group of believers. I mean, believes that, you know, the scripture says how pleasant, how wonderful it is that when brethren dwell together in unity.
Yeah.
It's like the anointing oil that was poured upon Aaron's head to run down through the beard, his beard down into his garments. Like the dew of Hermon says, for there the Lord can command his blessing. When God can, when people dwell together in unity around God's word, that's something God can get into, and He can command His blessing from that kind of environment.
Yeah.
But if we talk about others and so forth like that, that's what He's saying there. So He says if we're a unified group of believers, He said now if we don't obey that, then we're not obeying God and we displease God, and therefore our church, our people, cannot prosper. The church cannot go on. Can't prosper. Because we're disunified. As Jesus said, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. See, you have to remember. Because I know how the devil is. And I think we have a wonderful group. And I think we get along pretty good. But also know the devil.
Right.
And I know how he works. And so you know, He'll come along and he'll try to get you to think something about somebody, disagree or whatever or something like that. And next thing you know, you're becoming disunified. That's the word Brother Branham used. I was looking at that and it come up with a spelling thing. It was like, it don't exist in there like that. But you understand, you have to remember that if you want your life to be, your home to be, or your church to be successful in God, we have to come this route. We have to come God's way. And so anytime something would rise up in you that's in your own thinking that's contrary to the word, you cast down that imagination.
Right.
If something rises up in your home that's not godly, you cast that thing out. The church has been called and anointed to cast out devils like he did from heaven. And in the church, when something begin to rise up and make you have feelings against somebody or something like that, you've got to take it to the bank that that's going to cause troubles and weaken your church if you let that go on.
Right.
And we as Christians are commanded to recognize that and get it under the blood and take care of those things and don't let it fester, because if it festers and become infected,
right,
a whole human body can die from some little something that's not taken care of. Right? So this is just the things that he was saying there, and so that's good stuff. Jesus said, "A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Amen.
Right.
So Brother Branham, here in this, he brings it not just from, just as an individual, he brings it to the whole entire church to let you know that a church, we are responsible to one another. That's right. You can't just check out. It's just like a man as over his family or a wife or whatever. You can't just check out and say, well, I'm just done. I can't just check out and say I'm done here at this church. You can't either. You might think you can. And if you think that's that way it is because you don't have, your commitment to God is not right yet. When we're part of a body, what if your left hand says, you know what, I'm done. I'll no longer do anything for this body again. What would that be like? Right? When you, it's a revelation. When you belong to a body, brother or sister, you can't just check out from that body. You have a responsibility to that body, to your post of duty, and to do it through God's channel. Do it like God said. Be sharp. Be right there at it. Because the rest of the body's depending on you.
Yeah.
Right? We see that. That's why I like it. And back to Brother Tim, you know, he's just, you know, doing his part right there. Because if he couldn't, somebody else would have come along and do that, right? We're blessed with musicians and those sorts of things, but you understand that everybody has a position and a place and a part in the body. And so we have a responsibility to each other in this body. You can't just say, well, I'm. No, you can't do that. You have to have a revelation that, hey, I belong to this is part of me. When one member's hurting, I'm hurting. When I know somebody's having troubles or sick, I can't sleep at night. Right? Try it. And you know what? If your mind and your heart is right with God and with your brothers and sisters as a body, you don't despise that. You don't despise the fact that God will wake you up in the middle of the night so that you can pray for someone that you love, that's part of you. I'm just telling you, if it's right and it's with God, there's a provided way. Being a Christian is the best thing you can be in life. And you don't despise the trials and the troubles. Yes, they come and they're not pleasant, but down inside you know this is the pathway of righteousness. It's dripping with blood.
Right.
This gospel has always been dripping with blood.
Yeah.
Amen. You embrace the cross. Jesus said if you don't, you're not worthy of it. You embrace it. And when you're not, you're checking out. And your family and your loved ones and your church is suffering because of it. Right. We can say, amen, Brother Tony, this church, you're responsible to this church. Brother Daniel, you're responsible because y'all are ministers. And I'm telling you, you as a lay member, you're responsible to this body.
Yeah.
Just like everyone else is. You have a post of duty. You can't just say, I'm just not going to do it.
Right?
I know things come along, but see, it's got to where people just let, as we'll talk here in a moment, if the Lord will let me, about Pharaoh. He comes along and says, yeah, you can serve God, but you can't take your little ones. There's always conditions. He'll let you serve God to some capacity, but he'll hold you back and won't let you have full deliverance. It's the way he works, because he's a taskmaster, a tyrant. Amen. And so, Brother Ren brings this to out of the individual all the way to the local body is to show churches are made up of individuals. You want a strong church, have strong individuals. I want you to ask yourself, your brothers and sisters around you, who is their enemy? What are they fighting against? You look at somebody in here and say, what is their enemy? Well, you know their enemy is the devil. Right? So if you know that your brother or sister's enemy is the devil, what do you want to do about that situation? Do you want to sit back and criticize, or do you want to go to prayer and do everything you can to help them defeat the enemy?
Right.
Same way about yourself. Who's your enemy?
Right?
And who's your enemy? And what is the tactics of this warfare? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Right? It's a spiritual battle. You can go into your prayer closet and change an entire kingdom.
Amen. Glory.
Right?
Right.
But you can come out and try and do it in yourself and wind up destroying you and your whole family.
Yeah.
Right? The prayer closet. You know, there has to be. I've thought about this many times and thinking about preaching about it. Comes to mind right at the moment. But there has to be a reason why Jesus emphasized that. Go into your closet and pray, and the Father which sees in secret will reward you openly. Why is it that why does God not want you to come out here and do it? He wants the most success of your Christian life is what you are privately and how you spend time with God in your walk. If you wanted to come out right out here, if you wanted to live it right in front of your family or right in front of your church or right in front of your coworkers, it's what you're doing secretly and the time you spend alone with the Lord. Right? And so Jesus emphasized that because he doesn't want people to come and say, hey, look at me. Look how wonderful of a Christian I am. What he wants you to have something back there in secret, and that'll give you the power openly. He'll reward you openly. Remember David? He could defeat Goliath openly because back there where nobody was looking, he had victories over the lion and the bear. But then look at the same David secretly taking Bathsheba. And look what happened. That concept's still alive. Still alive in the church. Amen. And so you want to do what you can to help your brothers and sisters because the devil is their enemy. And it's not. Your brothers and sisters are not your enemy. Ever. Man. So you can have total deliverance no matter what you've done. The devil will try and tell you, well, you know, there was a time, yeah, God would have, but you just went too far. You've been too long. Not obeying. And that's not true. You see, when God gave us a prophet, he gave us the whole thing. Everything we need. And when Brother Branham is telling this, when he's preaching this and he's saying these things, he said, I just had to go through this, making things right. He said, I just had to go through this with the tax case. And we all were familiar with it, where Brother Branham was so much under pressure. And this is the way Satan works. Satan will put a stumbling block in front of you and make you fall and then condemn you because you failed. And so every one of you can get under such pressure that you blow it, that you make a mistake. And so God, through his mercy and grace, let us see this in the prophet's life. You would think that a man who the pillar of fire would meet on a daily basis and had all these raising from the dead and all these visions and everything, and never one time ever failing, you'd think that a man like that would never make a mistake. Right?
Still man.
But he did. He was a man. And Satan got him in such pressure, he felt like his head was just going to explode. When the tax attorney called or whatever and said, he stepped out and said, told his wife, tell him I'm not here. He ran outside and to try and make it right. Right? And he went to pray for a child just later that day, I think it was, and the Lord said, you lied. You know better than that. And you see, oh, well, it's God's prophet. He's done so much for the world, and we'll just let it slide. No, God don't let it slide.
Right.
And he don't let it slide for us either.
Right?
Right? So, Brother Branham said to that man, you wait right here. I got to make something right. He goes to make it right. He can come back and pray. And he tells about going down to the cave and prayed all day and talking about how the Lord sent the whirlwind by. Brother Branham was shouting and praising God because he knew his sins were forgiven. Mm-hmm. If God will do it for him, he'll do it for you. He'll let us see that transparency to understand that God, even when you make mistakes, God will forgive you if you'll just make it right. If you'll just come back. And Brother Branham, he had to go back. He went to the attorney and he said, I lied to you. I told my wife, say, I was not there. And the man walked over to Brother Branham and said, Brother Branham, I've always had confidence in you, but I sure do now.
Right.
A man that'll make right something he's done wrong.
Sure.
Amen? Amen? And so, this was the thing that happened. And so, God showing us that no matter what, even no matter who you are, whatever you are, you'll make mistakes. But there's blood to cleanse it if you'll just go to him with it and make it right. Do the things that need to be done. You can have total deliverance if you come clean.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? So we thank God for allowing our prophet to be transparent so we can see that. There was a time where I would say, what? My thinking, I'm like, oh, yeah. But we're humans. There's only one. Only one who never made a mistake.
Right.
And that's by design. Because if there was another, well, then you'd have a choice, wouldn't you? You'd have to choose, well, which one? Or if there was another, why would this one need to be if this one could be? No, there was only one that we could all look to him. And so, because God could do that, and in our condition with all the failures, and if we just come and make it right, if he could do all that, in that condition, what would he do if we were totally in unity?
Yeah.
So here's what Brother Graham says. He says, well, look, he said, look what he did for us in that condition, just about like the tank case. In that condition, what could he do if we were in one heart and one accord?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way they can do that is to unify your hearts together with brotherly love, obey the office of the church and the pastor obey God, and then God works through the pastor and through the board, and down through the church. She's talking about all the positions in church. Everybody in their spot. And God will work through all that. Down through the church. And all together are one unit in the kingdom of God. And then God will hear when we have a unified group. God will hear when we're in unity. And so Brother Bam says, let nothing bother you. Don't be dismayed at anything. Right? When you come to this place where everybody's where they're supposed to be and all in unity, don't let anything bother you. Don't be dismayed as Satan sends stuff. Don't be dismayed. God will take care of it.
Amen.
Why? Because we're a people that's unified and everything's under the blood.
Amen.
He'll fix it. Whatever. And Satan will throw things your way. Brother Bram says, now, that's the kind of person that God ordained to take the land. That's the kind of person that he wants to go over and possess all things as a people who totally, completely surrender to him like that. Amen. You know, God wants you to expect deliverance. We read there, we didn't read it, but I think, where Moses said, not a hoof.
Right.
Not a hoof's going to be left behind. So Pharaoh, here he is, and Pharaoh's going to, you know, well, yeah, I go, but don't take your flocks. And Moses said, no, ain't nothing staying behind.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going.
Mm-hmm.
The old, the young, the middle-aged, our children, our cattle.
Right.
Pharaoh, you're not clamping down on anything.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going to be healed.
Yeah.
We're all going to be saved. All of our children are going in the rapture with us. I'm gonna lay it out there so you can understand. This is, if this is not that age, what age would it be?
Right.
All of our children are going in the rapture with us. Nobody's gonna be left behind. Why? Because God promised it, and because I'm here to serve notice to Pharaoh that we're gonna have these things. I'm here to let it be known. I'm fighting for this. I'm not gonna let Pharaoh talk me out of this. I'm not going to let him threaten me. I'm not going to let him trick me. I'm not going to let him use my time up where I lose my zeal for this. I'm going to silence Pharaoh's voice in my ear, and I'm going to focus on God's word and the promise that he's given. And so Moses said, not even a hoof's going to be left behind. And that's the way we should be. To say, you know what? I don't care. The giants still fall. Giants still fall at the name of Jesus Christ. But you have to fight the giant. Right? You have to stand back and say, this giant stands before me, or stands before my family, or stands before my church. And he is much bigger than me into my thinking. But like Joshua and Caleb, but we're more than able.
Sure.
Like David, to say, you know what? So much so that not only am I going to come out here and the giant have to chase me down, I'm going to run to meet him.
Right.
I'm going to run to meet that giant. Because God said I can win. Right? I'm more than able. You're more than able.
Right.
So Moses said, hey, ain't nobody being left behind. At that point in that whole Exodus, God had already shown how he put a difference between Israel and the Egyptians. You see that when those plagues were coming through there, and for a while, it just, the whole thing builds up, because at first, these plagues are coming and Pharaoh's got some who can imitate it. But then after a while, it gets to the place where they couldn't bring what Moses did.
Right.
They couldn't remove it because Satan's not a healer.
Right?
So finally, and it tells you that while all this stuff was going on over in Egypt, wasn't happening with Israel. Darkness, it could be for 3 days that they couldn't even, it could be felt is what the scripture said, but in Goshen they had light. I think I've illustrated it, you know, that if there was a property line between Egypt and that portion where Goshen, I just wondered if that there was a wall where you could stick over and it'd be total pitch black, but you come back over here and it was light. God can do that. But the scripture said God would make such a difference with them that as these things were happening, Israel was being Egypt was being destroyed, but Israel was being preserved.
Right.
Who was doing it? Because Israel was such full of faith and all that? No, God. God is the author of the parameters of this Exodus. God is the author of these things. God is the one who said, listen, for a while it'll be such and such, but I'm going to ramp this thing up. And before it's over with, even they're going to know that I'm your God and you're my people.
Right.
They're going to know this. And so this all goes to the place there. And at some point, these things were happening over there and not in Israel. And in one place, God said that on this Passover, when it came time, he said that night when all that death's going through Egypt, he said, not even a dog is going to move his tongue in amongst God's people. And I've said this before, even for a dog to bark, his tongue moves. So while there were screams and cries in the houses and all that of Egypt, over here with Israel, it was peace. Quiet. Maybe they could hear the screams and cries, but in their quarters, there wasn't such.
Right?
Can God do that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Can we believe it for our own lives?
Yeah.
While we're going through things, can we say that I'll have it? Lord, I'm trusting you. You're the one that set these parameters. You're the one that's plaguing Pharaoh. I'm not.
Right.
You're the one that's going to destroy this enemy before me, not me.
Yeah.
You're going to make the stone sink into the giant's head, not me. I'll sling it, but you're the one that's going to get behind the sling and make it happen. See? Can you see the whole thing? That there's something we have to do here. Not to be, but you have to show that you believe God's promise and be willing to fight against these things that Satan has sent your way, because God says you can have total deliverance from all of it.
Amen.
Amen. And so God had already shown that he put the difference there between them. And if you'll do what we're talking about here today, this whole thing. If you'll get in that place God sent you here and fully equipped you, and quit letting the devil lie to you in that position where you can have full deliverance, God will show the difference between you and the world. Right? And at some point, the world's even going to look at you and say, God's with them. Right? Some people already have that testimony. So you understand, we are in an exodus. Brother Branham preached the sermon of the third exodus. We are in an exodus. And if there's an exodus, then that means there's a Pharaoh, and that Pharaoh is trying to get you to compromise. But God's got a total deliverance for his people, even in this day, with this Pharaoh. When you look at the Passover, you look at all the plagues, flies, fleas, and lice, and hail and fire, and water turning to blood. None of those things caused Pharaoh to let God's people go. And the reason why is because it took that one last plague, which was death of the firstborn. And we understand why that is, because it required the death of the firstborn on the cross to save us. And God had pronounced Israel, this is, of all the nation, Israel is my firstborn, and I'm going to take them, and I'm going to use them to bless the whole world. Like he said, Jesus, my firstborn, I'll use him to bless the whole world. So, but it took the shed blood of the firstborn before Pharaoh would let go. Pharaoh, listen, you as Christians, maybe you don't have victory in your life in some areas. And that's the areas that you've not put under the blood. Because everything that goes under the blood gets deliverance. And it showed right here in Egypt. Right? Plagues and all that stuff, Pharaoh's heart hardened. Pharaoh's heart hardened. He looked like he was going, no, he didn't let it go. Act like he was going to, no, he didn't let him go. See, and it was all by God's design. He's the current control of the parameters. That halfway is not going to get you full deliverance. Not fleas, fly, no. What gets you full deliverance is when it's under the blood. That's when it happens. It took that. And so I've said in the past, it comes to my mind all the time when I think about this. See, the plague had to be sufficient damage to set. See, all the other plagues and everything, Israel just sat back. They didn't have to do nothing. God was just doing all this stuff when they were sitting there. That's not good enough. It comes to a place where the thing that's going to set you free from Pharaoh is something you have to get involved in. And you have to show that you believe it enough to do what God said. And if you by you doing what God said, you are putting yourself under the blood. See, if they would have said, oh, I'm not gonna slay a lamb, I've got one, but that's my pet. I love it, I'm not gonna do that. See, they wouldn't be putting themselves under the blood. And therefore, death would have come their way. So when you don't put something under the blood, that gives Satan the right to come at you. Right? But it took something that the people had to get involved in to believe it, to show that they believe it, and they had to show that they were fully identified with what God was doing. And by being fully identified with what God was doing, that put them under the blood. And therefore, the death angel could not come get them. Let me translate that to today. The things that God has told us until we put these things under the word, under the blood, then Satan still has a punch coming at you with that. And we say, well, why do I have so much trouble? Well, didn't you put it under the blood? Why am I still struggling with it? It's because you didn't put it under the blood. It has to be under the blood in order for a total deliverance to come. We can see that there. And so, has to be under the blood. Brother Ram says, their families, their loved ones, and everything was delivered when they completely came under the blood. That's when the church should be completely delivered. When everything comes under the blood, when your sins come under the blood, when you're smoking, you're gambling, you're cheating, you're stealing, you're lying, and everything's brought under the blood, then there will be a total deliverance. If you've wronged someone, make it right. You can't bring that under the blood. See, Jesus said, hey, if you know that somebody's got ought against you, you've aggravated someone and they have something against you. He didn't say if you have something against somebody else. But if somebody's got something against you and you know it, you can't come to God's altar and pray and begin to fellowship with God. He said, you stop right there. You go back and make that right, and then you can come. And so Brother Graham was laying it out here, says, listen, If you've wronged someone, you got to go make that right. And if you don't, you cannot bring that into Christ. It won't happen. And people do it, okay, I'm in Christian now. And in the back of their mind and their heart, they know there's something they should have went and done. You're not really there. You're not really under the blood. That's why this stuff still happens and things happen and you don't have total deliverance, because there's still something and you're just acting like you, but you know it's not under the blood. See? Everybody understand that? I know it's quiet. Amen. Brother Ram says, if you're on somebody, you go make it right. You can't bring that under the blood. It won't stay. You can't bring it. Something won't let you do it. You see people come in and come into church and they don't last very long. And the next thing you know, they're out. Because there was something they didn't bring, that they didn't, you understand? Everything's got to be right. And if it's not, then it won't stick. But brother, sister, when everything's right, brought under the blood and not something held back, total deliverance comes to God's people. Amen? Yeah. It's not like God is saying, well, yeah, everything, I don't see anything. Everything in their life is under blood. Everything's taken care of. But I just can't deliver. That's not the way it works. Total deliverance when it comes under the blood. No question about it. Something won't let you. When yourself is completely, totally brought under the blood, then there will be a total deliverance. Then you'll have freedom like you've never known before when everything is brought under the blood. Brought in submission to the kingdom of heaven, then there will be a real deliverance. Amen. Thank God for his mercy, his grace. When we drag our feet and lag behind. But you realize we live in an hour where we say it quite often, you know, hey, rapture. Between now and then, things got to be right. Right? It's not like we're going to say, on that day, well, yeah, he still didn't get down in the blood, but we're going to let him come on over anyway. You can't take that with you. Right? The only thing you can take is Christ. Amen. See, there was no room for compromise the night of Passover. No room for compromise. Because death was now moving through the land. They weren't vulnerable with all the other plagues, but with this one. You know, it's like Brother Ram says, you know, with the medicine, there's got to be enough of the poison to kill the disease, but enough of the antidote or whatever you want to call it, right? It's a balance. So, because if you put too much poison in there, you'll kill the patient. So, but you do have to have enough to kill the disease, but not kill the patient.
Right.
So, see, flies and fleas and frogs and all, that wasn't sufficient. It wouldn't kill the enemy. God had to ramp it up powerful enough that he could destroy Egypt. And when it got that powerful, it could also destroy Israel if Israel didn't do what was told. See, it was sufficient under the blood. See, the devil knows as soon as it's under the blood, he can't touch it.
Right?
But he knows when it's not under the blood. So there was no room. You know, in verse 22, we read that. It said, when they went in under the blood, verse 22 said, and none of you shall go out from under that blood, out of the door, until morning. Once you enter into this time, enter into the blood, you're not leaving out from under the blood, because if you did go out from under the blood, you would lose your protection. And we know as Christians, once you're truly born again, you don't go out. You're covered, right? You don't go out from under the blood. But you see the need there of these to say that this is such a moment where God is delivering his people that they're under the blood, and they, and you can't, you got to stay there. You got to be 100%, not halfway, but fully, fully there under the blood. If you want to make it out. And so, you know, it mattered what the children of Israel did that night. Because here's the thing. The next morning, they were going out of Egypt. There was an exodus the next day. You take a family, I wonder, was there a rebellious family in Israel somewhere that said, you know what, I'm not doing that. I wonder. The scripture doesn't tell us. But you know what would happen. You know that if there was a family that said, I'm not listening to this prophet, I'm not doing what he says. But if they did that, you know what happened. Death was allowed to come into them because they refused to get under the blood. And when people refuse to get under the word of the hour vindicated, they're refusing to get under the bleeding word, death can still come in. And that's why you see so much carnage out there in people claiming to be Christians, and they're not. Because they're not truly under the word, the bleeding word of the prophet, the word given by a prophet. They're not truly there. And so, there might have been a family that did that, but you have to realize is the next morning, the rapture was coming. And if you had a family that did not obey, that rapture was still happening. Right? It was still going to happen. People, you know, dragging their feet. You know, the scripture tells us we need to make our calling and election sure, right? You need to be convinced. And if you're convinced, you won't be dragging your feet. Right? Amen. So, it mattered what they did. And so, the night of the Passover, they were fully in. You know, the plagues and frogs and all that could be happening. And a person over here in Israel, they could say, yeah, I don't know who Moses is, but I don't necessarily agree with what he's saying. Right? But when it come Passover night, it was black or white, cut or dry. You either get underneath that blood of that lamb or you're done. Right? And so when they put that blood over the doorpost, it wasn't like the back door or just inside the door. It was out where everyone could see. Oh, you're one of those people who believe this end time message. You claim that this message is the bleeding word. And so you've made it clear to all the public that you believe this because you put it on display. Yep, that's right. That's right. We put it on display. You're one of those Branhamites. Because you believe this man, well, yeah, that's right. If that's what you want to call it, if you want to call this message and people believe it, that Branhamites, okay, well, then I'm a Branhamite. But I'll tell you that if you call that a Branhamite, then you have to call me a Paulite. Right? A Matthew, a Mark, Luke, John, right? Because I'm believing a vindicated message. And so if that's what you want to call it, fine. If you want to call us holy rollers, fine. That's between you and God. That's up to you. But one thing for sure, I'm putting it on display. I believe. Everybody can see that I believe this message. Though it's rejected by the world, I believe it. Because I'm telling you about it. I tell people about it, right? It's on display. So, what if you didn't do that? Then you really don't believe it. Right? If people really believe it, they'll put it on display. Don't hide it. City's got to be put on a hill, can't be hid, right? Don't hide it. Take the candle, put it under a bushel, hide it. That's not what God meant. God meant for you to make it known. Right? Through your testimony. So by doing that, they're fully identified with their lamb that was slain. Fully, clearly declaring. They might have had people and friends in Egypt that they didn't know, but at that night, all people know, yeah, you're one of them. Well, thank God I'm one of them and you're one of them. Right? We sing that song, one of them. But you understand that was a requirement. For it to be on display. And so while they put it on display, and then they had to come in there and stay behind that, don't come out from the message, don't believe the message for a while and say, I shouldn't do this, and I shouldn't do these things, and then later on say, it's okay, and come out and do it anyway. How many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you know that there were times in your life where you strictly would adhere to something in the message, but you let it slip over time? What are we doing? Are we coming out from under the blood? Is that what we're doing? And we have, well, why am I having troubles? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Well, because there's consequences to coming out from under the blood. Just if it's a little bit. What do you think somebody, I tell you, I would call them very ignorant if they were standing inside and the blood's on the door and they're like, I wonder what happened if I stick my finger out. Maybe just a little bit. Think that's okay? Oh, nothing happened. Oh, still nothing happened. Oh, it's not so bad after all. Mm-hmm. You understand? Mm-hmm. What happened? Starts by one little bit. See, sin, you've heard the phrase, sin will take you further than you want to go. Make you stay there longer than you want to stay. Make you pay more than you want to pay. Brother Brown said that when he told his wife, he said, you tell him, I'm not here. He ran outside. I think it was the next day. The phone rang. And little Joseph ran to the phone and said, Daddy, you want me to tell him you're not here? You see? It goes to the little ones too. Obedience goes to them. But disobedience goes to them. Because you're their leader. See? Brother Graham said, you imagine, he just listened to him tell us, but son, I was telling my son to do something wrong. And see, these things matter, but Satan come along and he'll mess with you and, well, it's really not that bad if I compromise. It's really not that bad if I let my kids watch something on TV that's really not healthy or something like that. Or whatever. It's a lie. There's consequences to all of it. Every bit of it.
Right.
Consequences. And so they had to be fully identified and stay there. And while they were there, the scripture said, you know, they had to eat the lamb. Right? I love the fact that, hey, if you had a small family and the only lamb you had was really big, you know, but you could go to your neighbor, y'all could do this together. Yeah. Get fellowship together while death is striking the land. Mm-hmm. All of you, your friends, your family, your neighbors, if you're under the blood, you can have fellowship with one another and security while it's all happening. That's what believers, it's what we should be. As we get together and fellowship with each other, knowing that the world is burning down, but safety among God's people. And so they'd have to eat the lamb. And the scripture said, eat all of it. Every bit of it. Not just this quote and that quote, not just this doctrine and this teaching, but we won't want this. All of it. Again, there it is again. Don't compromise. Eat all of the word. Because all of the word died to be bleeding word, bleeding lamb. The hoof died, the ears died, the tail died. All of it died, all of it suffered. So eat all of it. Everything the prophet went through and all those things that God lived out to express this to, all of it, accept all of it, believe it all, be under it and eating it all. While they're under the blood, eat that lamb. And the scripture said for them to eat it in haste. Staff in their hand and shoes on their feet. Eat it with bitter herbs. Staff in their hand. Why? Because we're fixing to go somewhere. I'm acting in such a way to believe. I'm believing that I'm fixing to leave this place. And so I got my staff. I'm ready because at any moment that trumpet should sound. I'll be ready. I got my shoes on my feet. I'm not going to, when God calls us up, come up hither and change our bodies, I'm not going to have to, as it were, put some shoes on. I'm already dressed. I'm already ready. Got my staff in my hand, and I'm ready, and I'm eating that word. I'm listening to those tapes, and I'm believing this, and I'm coming to church, and I'm feeding on this word, and I'm being part of a body, and I'm doing my part for my church and for my family and for myself. I'm doing all this like I should be. I'm ready that any moment when he calls, I'll be able to go and take my family with me. Staff in the hand. Urgent. See, Satan got it where people don't believe this is an urgent time. We are in an exodus now.
Right.
And he's got it where people don't realize it's an urgent time. Amen. Amen. Urgent. Eat it in haste. Give me another message. Brother Daniel, preach another sermon. Give me more. But that's not what people act. Yeah, they can come to church, take it or leave it. Miss a service? I might listen to it in the archive, I might not. See what I'm saying? Urgent. Eat that word, all of that. Every bit of it. Would be ready. And the scripture said, eat it with bitter herbs. You know, scriptures let us know that those bitter herbs, you know, that God wants us to remember how terrible it was in Egypt under the bondage of sin. Right? He wants us to remember that, but also to remember the bitterness of the death that it took to set us free. Right? So he says, you sit in there and yeah, the lamb died for you and all you have to do is sit here and eat and you're ready and all that. No, you have to experience the bitterness too. God's going to make sure you have to eat bitterness to understand so that you don't forget what it cost to get you in that safety zone and get you ready. Right? And we find out that in Revelation chapter 10, where he says to John, which is a type of the bride, he says, take this book and eat it. And he said he took it, eat it, and it was sweet in his mouth, and in his belly it was bitter. Bitter. It's a glorious message, but that bitterness has to be there for you to remember this is very costly. There was a lot of pain and sorrow and suffering that went through the ages to get us to where we are now, where we can have this kind of freedom and go out in the rapture. Right. Amen? Right. Bitterness.
Right.
Amen. And John went forth and said, go prophesy before all nations, kindred, tongue, and people. And he did that with that bitterness experience in his. See? We can't properly represent the gospel unless we remember what it was like and what God has truly set us free from. We can't really truly set in this message if we can't look back and see that all the martyrdom and everything that happened to bring this to this place that we can sit in such a glorious moment. Sitting there in the safety behind the blood, ready to go. Man, that's what was represented there. And we are in that third Exodus. Not back then, a couple of people, a nation out of a nation. Then he come in, when Jesus come along, he was the God prophet. He come along and took them out of a spiritual condition into the baptism. But here at the end time, this Exodus is to come and take us from a spiritual baptism into the land of the eternal, of the living, into a millennium, in a body change. So it's for us, coming out underneath this is body change. But until that happens, we are to be under the blood, staying under the blood, eating all the word, not denying some of it and saying, I don't like that part, eat the whole thing. Shoes on our feet, staff in our hand. And I look around, I'm like, are people doing that? Am I doing that? Are people in this message doing that? Or are they still so soft and easy living that they've let Pharaoh lull them to sleep? Right? Say that to you. You search your own heart, see, because we all want to come to that place where we know that we're doing what God wants us to. So we have to be identified with these things. People seem like they don't act like that. You know, and we didn't read it there, but in Exodus chapter 10, verse 7, Pharaoh's people. Egypt was destroyed. And Pharaoh was still hard in his heart. And the people, his people, Pharaoh's people, came to Pharaoh and said, Don't you understand? Can't you see that Israel is just that Egypt is destroyed? Right? I thought that's really wonderful because it was chapter 10, verse 7. Under Revelation 10:7, this world is destroyed. And they still don't know it. And they're still trying to make laws and stuff and still coming against Christians just like Pharaoh did. And all those spirits are still there because they're still trying. But listen, God's got an exodus that's happening.
Right?
It's all going on. Got a prophet, got a message, got a people, got a bleeding lamb to get under the blood for. Amen. This age, this cosmos of man is cursed. And people are still trusting in it. People still trusting in it. Amen. But you know what? You were made to have total deliverance.
Amen.
That's what God had in mind when he made you. Anything short of that is just something the devil, Pharaoh, has tried to put on you. God has made you to be fully, totally delivered from anything that Pharaoh would try to put up on you. Sins of the flesh, the devil. No more lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Not going to hold us anymore. Amen.
Amen.
We're made to have a total deliverance. And so, go after it. Fight with your enemy. Stand there and say, I'll never give in. I'll stand for this gospel truth, and I'll see my people, my family, my children, my church, my grandchildren. I will see them come because God promised it. I've talked to him about it, and I'm giving it to him. I'm gonna continue to place it before him. I was reading the other day. I woke up, and the scripture came to mind that Jesus said, hey, there was an unjust judge. And this woman came and said, avenge my adversaries. And this judge, the scripture said, this judge, he didn't fear God. He didn't regard man. He didn't care one bit. But he said, you know what? This widow woman's going to keep coming and bugging me. And so I'm just going to give her what she wants because I don't want to mess with her. Right? And Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge said. Shall not God avenge your adversaries? If you cry out to him day and night for it, yes, he will do that. But when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Do you have an answer for him? Yes. When the Son of Man cometh, yes, he will find faith on this earth. People who will stand there and they will daily, like that widow woman, daily be going and saying, God, deliver my family, deliver my friends, deliver my children. Set them free daily. God will answer if you cry out to him day and night. Well, you can cry out then day and night shows that you believe it. This promise is mine. I'm not letting it go until I see this manifest.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where we are to be. And so, amen. I'll end by saying this. You know, the scripture said tells us that the devil, if you resist him steadfast, he will flee from you. You know what it means to flee? Like me yesterday out here when those yellow jackets got after me, whatever, a big old huge thing about like that, and I didn't realize there were 100 of them on there, and I got some spray and sprayed up there, and man, it just, I took off running, and it didn't go very well for me. I didn't get stung, but I did wind up hurting over it. The devil will flee. See, he knows what's under the blood.
Right.
He knows he can't touch it, but he tries to bluff you. He knows who you are as a child of God, but he tries He tries to bluff you, and as long as you listen to his bluff, he is successfully holding you back from your promises. And according to everything throughout the scriptures, we know we must fight for these truths. Amen. That they would be adopted in our life. We can see God do these things in us. And so the scripture there said that this Pharaoh, who was so rough, and I'm not letting you go, and before it was over with, he was so crushed that they urgently said, get out, go quickly, get us, go as fast as you can, because if you don't, we're all dead. Think about that. A Christian can live in such a way where the devil says, let them alone, give them, just because if you don't, we're all going to be dead. You understand the concept there? Like you've heard it say, Lord, the devil says, oh no, he's getting up out of bed again. Yeah. Right? And you know, you can be that way if it's all under the blood. Right. Amen. How many is thankful for the blood?
Amen.
How many could understand that this word that came today that's rejected is our bleeding word, the bleeding lamb?
Right.
Amen. Didn't see any hands. That is our lamb, right? It connects us back to the lamb of 2,000 years ago, because this is what he's doing. This message, I think Brother Daniel, I forget how he said it, but I loved it Wednesday night. He's talking about this message, because only God could do this. Man cannot manufacture these things and make all this come out. God did it, amen? And so let's just bow our hearts and pray. I don't keep you any longer because it's been long. Amen. Let the musicians come. I just want to say, as we bow our heads, every head bowed and every eye closed, God always challenges us from his word. I remember the prophet saying one time, he said, you know, if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better get it done. Because that's just the way it is. We always feel like we're short, and we are. But God always challenges us to go to a higher step, a higher walk with him. And so I know that the Lord has spoke to you this morning the same way. There's more that you could give. There's more, a higher standard that you could lift up, and there's a way that you could live a little bit more of this gospel, that you can stay under the blood a little bit better and quit wandering and quit letting Satan trick you into believing that this is not that hour. And so, as we pray, it's been a good time for you to make a commitment to the Lord. You know your own heart. Heavenly Father, we just come to you now, Lord. We know what a wonderful gospel you have shown it all through the scriptures. Your prophet said it is on every verse, every line, and it's a Lord, no matter where we look, we see redemption there for your people. And Lord, how you had people that have made many mistakes throughout the ages, but God, your plan was always there to pick them up and catch them as long as they would come your provided way. And Lord, this morning, here we are, each one of us, in our own walk, our own struggles of life, and our own failures, where we all come short. I raise my hand too, Lord. But God, we know that through your word, as you so wonderfully expressed in this age through a prophet, and even in his own life, showing us that you are a God of mercy. You're a God full of grace. And Lord, that if we'll just come to you, you will give us a total deliverance. I'm asking God, and I've said the words this morning, Lord, only you as the Holy Spirit can seal this away into the hearts of your people, that they would fully understand and know that they can give all to you and walk away totally free. I'm asking God that you would do that for your children this morning. Lord, that you would seal this away in their hearts, that they not forget this, and that something, Lord, in life going forward, they can look back to this day and say, on that day, I drove a stake in the ground. That's where things changed, and I went up another notch with you. Lord, we just ask that you do that through this blood. Lord, it was you that caused Pharaoh to let your people go. And we know, God, it is you that will set us free in deliverance. You're not asking us to fight against Pharaoh ourselves, but to believe you and let you do it. And so, Lord, I pray that your mercy and your grace upon grace, double grace, will be poured out upon your people. Lord, that they can lay hold on these things. And, Lord, that today each one would come to a higher plane in you, not to ever come down. Lord, may there be a change in their walk today where they know they walk in your presence in a greater fashion. We love you, Lord. We thank you and ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ.